Well, hello and welcome back to the Since You Asked podcast. Ben, how are you doing today?
It's a great day.
It is a great day. Same great day as episode 8. We're on episode 9.
We look very similar.
But we look very similar.
Yeah.
We are actually recording a few of these ahead of time. So by the time this comes out, I think that we will all be back in the office.
Yes, I think we'll be back.
But you've got vacation coming up.
Yes.
And I've got camp coming up. And so when we're recording this, not even 4th of July yet.
No.
And yet people will not hear this
until... But now
until...
as you're listening to it, it's past... It was a great day.
Oh, 4th of July.
Wow, fireworks.
I can't believe...
America.
You know what happened.
It was great.
I cannot believe that happened.
I did not expect it, but I'm glad it happened.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Good day. Memorable.
Memorable for sure. So, wherever you are, we hope that you had a great 4th of July at this point a few weeks ago. Because this one come out.
We will for have a few had weeks. A good one too.
Yes. So. But we are excited to be back here and covering another question that one of our listeners has sent in. But before we get into that one, we, of course, need to talk about coffee.
And because this is the second episode of the day, we don't need to caffeinate because we already have.
Well,
but we need extra caffeine for this one.
Yeah,
so,
I think I need it.
Okay, you need it. So because you need it, here we go. This was actually sent to us by, and I don't know how much I actually put in this, so I'm gonna give you half a cup.
Yeah.
And if we need more, we'll do that. This was, no, that was all you're going to get. This was sent to us by a listener, Kyle. Yeah. So Kyle, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
This is Sunrise Coffee Collective, and this is their Colombian blend. So kind of a medium roast. This Kyle swears by this coffee. He says it's the best, gave me, several samples for us to try and rate and review. So, yeah, so we're going to do just that.
First of multiple from Kyle.
Yes, yes. We have several others, and so in future episodes, we'll do that. So here we go. One sip. Everybody knows the rules.
That's right.
Sunrise Coffee Collective.
My first thought is, you forget how hot that coffee is in the French press.
Yeah, it's warm.
Very warm. Really good.
It's good. And we also got to be careful because sometimes like my brewing could have an effect on the actual coffee itself.
Yeah.
And so it's a little strong, but that's not because of the coffee. It's because of me.
Well, and French press brews things a little stronger because of it's an immersion style of coffee.
Yeah.
So that will be a little stronger.
But it's not bitter. It's not a bitter coffee. It is stronger than the normal just because I put it in here. I like it.
I do too.
Cause you know, we've talked off camera before that I am not a bitter coffee fan. There's some that just, they've got that bitter taste to it. This is not bitter.
I think for me, it's and it could be the darker or the stronger flavor profile because of the French press. And typically, we have a bun coffee maker here in the office.
Yeah.
And when possible, we have whole beans that we grind by hand because we care.
It is a labor of love.
Labor of love for sure. So I think we... brought out the French press for the Kopi Luwak a few weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
For the first time. So this would be a return for the French press. So that could skew it a little. Most of the time it's just drip coffee.
Yes.
But I'm going to say 6.5.
Okay.
I think it's really good. It's a little bit stronger than last week's.
Yes.
An hour ago's coffee.
Yeah. I was going to go 6.9.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is a solid cup of coffee. And people hear 6.9, they'll be like, wow, you guys are really hard on this. You don't like it. That's actually a pretty high score.
Yes.
I mean, we don't give nines and tens away for free.
No.
You got to earn those. No. But this is good.
Well, for context, obviously our top I won't say top dog, our top squirrel.
Top squirrel.
Yep. Is still Squirrely Joe's Wisdom Blend, 8.1 for each of us. So that shift.
Phenomenal cup of
coffee.
That
was an excellent cup of coffee.
Yes.
Other than that, we've given, you know, some 7.4, 6.4. You know, Folgers was our 5, yes, flat across the board. So if you drink Folgers, you know what that tastes like. You can say, okay, well, they prefer this, yeah, over Folgers.
Yeah.
So 6.5, 6.9, really good scores.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think just having done this one, following the Door County coffee, we gave a 6 and a 5.7.
Yeah.
I honestly think had that one been a little bit stronger, it probably would have been a little, yeah, bit higher. And
I think so
that
too.
Was my main score complaint with that was a little flat.
Yeah. Well, and I do have a confession to make. I did drink one of the blends that Kyle gave me the other day, and it was the Mexican blend. And so we're not going to be able to review that, but it would have been a solid 7.7.
Oh, wow.
Like, that does nothing, you know, for this blend.
No.
But it was really good. I just think it's this blend is not as good to me as that one. So
also does nothing good, for though. Me because I did not have the Mexican
blend. You're just going to have to trust me on it. It was really good.
Okay. So Sunrise Coffee Collective, Colombian blend, 6.7 composite score.
Yeah, pretty good.
Very, very strong score. Yeah. So Kyle, thank you.
Yes.
We appreciate your gift to us, yep, to donate and to review. And we look forward to more.
Yeah. If you've got a blend or a coffee brand that you love that you want us to try, or the other side of the coin is one you absolutely hate,
yeah,
and you want us, cool, to try, like we are open to trying everything.
Yeah. Let's say we didn't answer one of your questions yet.
Yeah.
Or we answered a question in a way you didn't like.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, I've got a great coffee for you to try. and it doesn't, yeah, I know we've said that Squirrely Joe's sent us in some coffee. Penny Arnold gave us the Door County one.
Yeah.
Kyle Mann here today with this one and a few others. And we greatly appreciate,
yeah,
those, yep, for sure. But when we say if you have a suggestion, we don't mean that you have to give us coffee. If you just say, hey, what do you think about this coffee?
Yes.
It's available at Walmart or IGA, or you can order it here, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You just send us the name.
Yep.
We'll pick it up.
We'll pick it up.
And so it's
we
not
won't
that you
turn
have to
down your gift of generosity if
absolutely
you want to.
Not.
I just want to make,
yes,
that clear too.
Yeah, we do not want to rob you of the blessing of giving.
Yes, no. But yes, we're not expecting that.
No,
from
no,
we just, yeah, we can purchase that on our own, and, yeah, we'll give it a review.
That's right.
So,
all right. So now that we have properly overly caffeinated, today's question: are some emotions bad? Being a result of the fall.
Yeah.
Are they not a part of God's intended plan?
Wow. That is a deep question.
Yeah.
One that I feel somewhat inadequate to answer. Because I think for us as men, there are times when we don't like to discuss or feel emotion.
I don't know what an emotion is.
Well, I've never had one.
No.
I think I almost had one time, but
it turned
out to just be gas, I think.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
yeah, there's no coming back from that one.
No, I was going to talk about how I experienced happiness when my kids were born.
Oh, but yes.
You went with gas.
That too. Yes. I've had fleeting moments of that. No. I think to answer this question, we need to go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
And just begin to see how things were intended to be, how they were actually created. And so here's where I want to go. Genesis chapter 1, and I want to start in verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. That's going to be key here. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every other living creature that moves along the ground. God said, I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And he continues on. But the point of this is that God has made Adam and Eve. He is intimately involved in their lives. He is He is active. They are in harmony with one another and with God. And so everything is perfect in this moment. There is no sadness. There is no jealousy. Excuse me. There is no anger. There's no depression. Like, everything is perfect. And so I think that's kind of where we have to start, is this starting point of what life was like before the fall.
Yeah. So in that moment, there would have been happiness. There would have been contentment, joy, because there was everything that they needed was given to them at their fingertips. There was no need for them to feel other emotions.
Right.
They wouldn't have even had a way to understand them.
Right.
And really, happiness was a new emotion. Everything was new to them.
Right. Yeah.
So that kind of sets the standard of, okay, happiness, contentment, those sorts of positive characteristics were inherently a part of life in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we talk about this question of, are some emotions a result of the fall, I think there's an important stipulation to make as we begin that. Just because you feel a certain emotion in a moment doesn't mean you have sinned to cause that. Now, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, so we've all experienced what sin brings on us. But I want to make sure, like, if you're feeling depression, does that mean that you've sinned in that moment? Well, no, not necessarily. But I just want to make sure nobody feels like, regardless of what you're feeling like in this moment, you're the one that's caused this. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that emotions that you feel that obviously are not the way God intended are a result of the fall. And I think we can go down the list and give some scriptural examples of what things are a result of the fall.
Yeah, I was thinking of it. Nothing comes to mind to say that you are sinful simply for having a certain emotion.
Yeah.
Can you think of a scenario where you say, no, that's not? There are sinful responses that come from our emotions.
Right.
But simply having the emotion
is
not sinful.
Right. And I think it's the action upon those emotions that then becomes sinful. So yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So let's just look at a couple here, because when you work through these emotions, you're going to see through scripture that as you compare the fall with also the restoration of all things when Christ returns, you're going to see how some of these emotions go away, or some of these are find their satisfaction in Christ and his return. And so I want to look first, and I just kind of made this random list, but let's look at the emotion of jealousy. And so you don't have to go very far in the narrative of Genesis to get to the first instance of jealousy. You've got Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where it first comes about. And you really see that Cain has brought an offering to the Lord, but it's not his best. And then you've got Abel that's brought an offering to the Lord. And there's a submission. There is a reverence to God. There is love for God in his gift, as opposed to obligation from Cain. And so God accepts one from Abel, and he disproves of another one in Cain. And so the result is jealousy. Mm-hmm. Cain is jealous that Abel has received God's blessing on his offering. And so his response is, I'm going to kill him. And so this is really the first instance of jealousy that we see in scripture. But then you turn to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you look at verse 4. You're going to see God through his Holy Spirit speak to this idea of jealousy, and really where it comes out is in verse 4, which is a part of the love chapter. It's often recited at weddings.
Oh yeah.
But if you look at love, what's he trying to say? Is he talking about a feeling or emotion? No, he's talking about God himself being love, the embodiment of love. God does not possess love only. God is love. And so when he's laying all this out, he says in verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. it does not envy. So if you look at the idea of jealousy, you see right away that, whoa, this is not of God. This is an emotion that is clearly brought on because of our sinful nature and sin entering humanity. And so this is something that God has not ordained in his creation of all things.
Yeah. Another thought or another example that comes to mind with that is Saul, King Saul, and David.
Yeah.
You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, it says the troops were coming back. And when David returned from killing the Philistine, the women came out from all the cities of Israel to meet King Saul, singing and dancing with tambourines, with shouts of joy, and with three-stringed instruments. As they danced, the women sang, "Saul has killed his thousands." What a great guy.
What a man.
But David,
his
tens of thousands. So says Saul was furious and resented this song.
You know, you read that in its context, you're like, oh, I kind of get that. You know, like, obviously that doesn't make it right, but when you hear all the women of Israel coming out and singing your praise for a moment and then shifting to say, but this guy,
yeah,
he is 10 times better.
that's a hurt on the ego.
That hurts the pride a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, my.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So jealousy, not the intended goal. God did not originally want us to be jealous.
Right.
Doesn't Scripture say that God is jealous?
Yes.
So how is that okay?
God, because it's jealousy and the right thing. Hmm. What is God jealous for? God is jealous for his own worship and glory. God is... Because God is God, he understands who he is and what he is deserving of. And so when it says God is jealous, or God is a jealous God, he knows that the best thing for humanity is to worship him, is to follow the intention of creation. And so when God is jealous, he is jealous for what is right. He is jealous for what is holy. He is jealous for what he is deserving of. And so I guess we should say jealousy in the right thing, not always bad.
Yeah.
Jealousy misplaced is where things go off track, because in our context, it's often jealousy is a result of discontentment in what God has given us. We want something that someone else has. And so this jealousy comes from saying, God, you haven't given me enough. You haven't given me what I feel like I deserve. And the reality is we deserve nothing. That's the irony of all of the jealousy. But it's saying, God, I know better than you. You should give me this. And when the reality is, God is saying, you have me. You have everything that you need. Be content with what I've given you.
So. Yeah, that's great. Great insight on that. Let me ask you this follow-up then.
Okay.
Maybe people are thinking this at home. Am I wrong to be jealous, or is someone wrong to be jealous? Let's say, can my wife be jealous if I'm not giving her, you know, maybe some of the attention? I'm at home, and instead of, you know, spending time with her or my kids, I'm on my phone. I'm distracted, or I'm consumed with work, you know, things like that. Are there instances where there are times where it's okay for us to be jealous?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say just using the example you've given me. Yeah, I would think that's okay. And again, it's more the what is the follow-up from the emotion. So yes, let's say in this instance, your wife feels jealousy for your attention. Well, what is she actually longing for? She's longing for you to take your rightful place in this structure of the family, to love her, to be present for her, to provide for her, to care for her. And in return, your jealousy, or what you would long for in that relationship, would be for her to respect you, for her to come alongside and help you, for you guys to build this life together. So yes, that in and of itself is not wrong, because what she's longing for is God's intention for marriage.
Absolutely.
And so I think now there are misplaced follow-throughs from that emotion. The improper response of jealousy would be, well, then I'm going to go find the attention of a different man.
Yeah.
Obviously, that is not correct. And so again, the emotion in and of itself isn't sinful. Where sin comes into play is what follows from that emotion.
Sure. Or even, you know, to a lesser outcome of that, you know, I'm going to be resentful. I'm mm-hmm. going to be spiteful. I'm going to be angry.
Yeah.
Instead, we need to communicate. We need to share, hey, here's how I'm feeling. I need, my wife has told me before, she's like, I'm in a state where I need attention. Mm-hmm. I need your support in this.
Yeah.
And so she communicates that with me.
Yep.
And I think that's important because it's in the proper, like you said, she's desiring or he or she, a person is desiring what God's intention was, mm-hmm. their plan for the family. But we can't allow that to spur us into sinful behavior.
Right.
Anger, yes. resentment, whatever it may be.
Yes, that's probably key to all of these. Like these emotions you feel, are they driving you to God and to His word and His intention for your life, or are they driving you into sinful behavior? That's really where the rubber meets the road in all of these, because all of them can be redirected towards the things of God, or they can be redirected to the things away and opposed to God.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what other emotions can we... Kind of break down a little bit.
Another one is anger. And I think, gosh, we live in a culture today where it feels like this is often the predominant emotion that everybody feels. Anger seems to be more prevalent than ever. And so, again, we see examples in Scripture of God being angry. That's a righteous anger.
Yeah.
We see Jesus being angry. Zeal for his temple has consumed him when Jesus drives out the money changers out of the temple. That in and of itself is not wrong. That's a good and right thing. We should be angry about the things that God is angry about and care about the things that God cares about. But in the book of James, one of my favorite books, I absolutely love the blunt nature of James.
He lays it out there.
He does not pull punches. Mm-mm. And yet in verse 19 and 20 says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry." And here's the key here. Verse 20, "Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." And again, what James is laying out is the emotion in and of itself, anger for the right thing, for the righteous thing, is not bad. But what action does it lead us to? And so he's saying for human anger, it often expresses itself in being slow to listen, quick to speak, and very quick to become unreasonably angry. And so he's cautious against that, saying, hey, anger in and of itself is not wrong, but it has to be directed in the path of righteousness.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's countless things that I think we can think of that anger God.
Yeah.
Sin angers God.
Yes.
But even as Christians today, I mean, sex trafficking should anger us.
Yeah.
Exploiting children should anger us.
Yes.
Gambling addictions, alcoholism, drugs should anger us.
Yep. The pornography industry should anger us.
Should anger us.
Yeah.
Because it is leading people into destructive behaviors.
Yeah.
Sadly, I think what happens is, and not to say that this isn't important, but oftentimes we get angry because our sports team didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
Or we get angry because a different kind of sport team didn't win, the Republican or the Democrat.
Right. Yeah.
And we get angry about things. And again, not to say that, especially political things, there's important things that are decided in that. But it should not provoke us into anger the way it often does.
Yeah.
And the things that truly, I think, anger God and that we would be righteous in being angry about, we often just accept or turn a blind eye to.
It's met with passivity.
Yes.
And there are absolutely, and so here's kind of the two stages of this. We should absolutely be angry about the things that God is angry about. Now, we also have to do that in the proper manner.
Sure.
God has given us those instructions of how to handle those things. But I think we also need to understand that on the other side of the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no more anger, right? There's nothing to be angry about. There will be nothing that is displeasing to God in that. And therefore, there's not even necessarily a righteous anger because there's nothing to be righteously angry about. Everything is back to its perfect state. And so we're living in this time of living in a fallen world where humanity is broken, where sin and the effects of it are present in the present earth. And so there are absolutely things that we should be angry about, handled in the correct manner, but we are righteously angry about the things that God is righteously angry about.
Yeah. And then I think our the question that comes to mind then is, okay, if I'm angry about something, how can I respond in a way that is not sinful?
Yeah.
And so the place that my mind goes, sex trafficking, that should be something that angers us.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sin in my anger. Well, it should drive us to take action to fight against that. Mm-hmm. I mean, first off, you mentioned the pornography industry.
Yeah.
Is a large driver, even inadvertently, of sex trafficking.
I know this isn't that episode, but at the same time, if people would actually dive in to the atrocities of the pornography industry and how it has given a foothold to the sex trafficking industry, because people in their mind often separate the two, they are one and the same.
Yeah.
If they would see the root of this and understand how the porn industry is driving this, it should sicken them.
Yeah.
And it should sicken all of us. But we often separate that, like, this is a private thing and that's horrible. No, one is actually feeding the other. And, right. And in fact, the blunt reality of this is when people partake of pornography industry or the pornography industry, when they think they're doing something that is innocent, they're actually furthering this sex trafficking industry. So yeah,
absolutely.
I just felt like that needed to be said in this.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that we could go into about that.
Yeah.
But and there's lots of great resources out there to talk about those things that people really need to study. But one thing I think of with that industry, local mission that began locally, but Broken Chains Outreach.
Yeah.
And you can look them up on Facebook, Broken Chains Outreach. They go into Costa Rica and help children that have been victims of human trafficking, many times sex trafficked. There's other organizations that go into
the Rafa House.
Rafa House,
that's one of them,
over in Asia.
Yeah.
And so our anger for things that anger God should lead us into action.
Yes.
And maybe you're saying, you know what, I can't be the person who goes to another country to fight these battles. First off, you can pray.
Yeah.
Broken Chains, I know, would benefit from your prayers.
Yeah.
The whole world would benefit from us praying as Christians that this sort of evil would be eradicated.
Yes.
Even this side of heaven.
Right, yeah.
Even though we say, you know, it likely will never happen, let's pray as if it can.
Yep.
Because God can do anything.
Yep.
But they also can, you know, benefit from our financial giving. I mean, we live in a country where we're considered poor when we have so much.
Yeah.
We have so much.
Yeah.
And we should be thankful that the standard of living is what it is. But these are organizations that, first off, are fighting against atrocities that break God's heart.
Yep.
But they're doing it in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And they need our support to bring the gospel to parts of Africa that are war-torn and torn apart, where kids are being used as soldiers, to places like the Ukraine and to Russia, where men who sit in palaces are deciding the fates of young men going and dying at war. These are people who need to know the gospel, and there's organizations out there bringing the light of Jesus into parts of the world that what is going on upset and anger the heart of God, and they should do the same for us.
Yeah, and I think in light of that, we should not turn a blind eye to that. The worst thing that we can do is, in our anger, stick our head in the sand
and
pretend it's not happening. Because it's easy to do in America. And when we do that, that is not the proper response to these things. So, okay. So the next emotion that I think we, feel and kind of question, like, where does this come from, is sadness. Mm. And I mean, this is a part of life under the curse. I mean, we feel pain and sadness, and if you haven't, just wait a little bit. Like, it's a part of life. It's going to happen. And so I think the direction I want to go with this is first understanding, like, everyone has something in their life. We tend to invalidate somebody else's pain or sadness based on what I've experienced myself. So, you know, if you're looking for me to empathize with you, I often view it as, well, if you've experienced something that I feel like is less painful than what I've experienced, you're not going to receive my empathy. Mm-hmm. However, if you've received something that I feel like is equal to or greater than the pain that I've experienced, then I'll give you my empathy or sympathy, whatever it may be. This is not the proper response for us. It's easy to do. We tend to look at those people who are suffering less than we feel like we have and say, you need to suck it up. Like, your life's not that bad. Well, we don't get to decide how people feel pain and how they react to those things. So we want to be empathetic to that. But I also think in the middle of sadness and whatever has contributed to that, I realize that there are people that are watching and listening today that are dealing with unimaginable pain.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a diagnosis, you're dealing with the loss of somebody, you're dealing with abandonment, you're dealing with whatever it is. We don't want to invalidate that, but I think what sadness should do is remind us that there is a day coming when that is eradicated. And so not to say, hey, you need to suck it up and just hang on, but you need to hang on with hope. You need to feel that sadness. You need to deal with that. But at the same time, that sadness reminds you, hey, there's a day that's coming when that is no more. And so I look in moments of sadness, I look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. It's kind of the new heaven and the new earth is coming down. Creation is restored. It's this undoing of the fall we see in Genesis chapter 3. Kind of we're moving back to the garden in its perfect state. And it says in verse 4, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. However long you experience sadness or pain in this life, it is a blip compared to eternity. Hmm. That does not invalidate the pain that people feel, the sadness that they're experiencing, but it does remind you that there's a day you're going to be standing in the face of eternity, and that's going to be a distant memory. And so to those of you dealing with that emotion, whatever severity or grade it is, you need to use that to point you to the hope in the resurrection, the restoration of all things to come. Christ is coming to eradicate that. Put your hope in him now, and you'll see that to completion when it comes.
Yeah, and I think it needs to be said, you and I are not mental health experts. We are not psychologists, therapists. We're able to do some counseling, biblical counseling, due to our training. But the first thing that I was taught in those counseling classes is once that you have done a few sessions with someone, you need to advise them to find a professional.
Yes.
That's not who we are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we also know because of the fall, there are imbalances that some people deal with. I myself have dealt with depression for years and was diagnosed with it due to a chemical imbalance that my body has. And, you know, there's lots that can be said about that. There's medication that can balance that out. There's also habits that I found that I should do better at, you know, waking up at a good time, eating a healthy diet, drinking plenty of water, exercising. Those are things that help balance things out within the body that oftentimes we just don't do.
Yeah.
But also two scriptures come to mind when it comes to sadness and when it comes to depression and the things that we deal with, and not that they necessarily deal with those two things, but these just came to my mind when we were talking about that. Jesus understands what we have gone through. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this a few weeks ago in church, but Hebrews chapter 4, Jesus as our high priest, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Doesn't necessarily say that he dealt with depression or, I mean, we know he dealt with sadness. Jesus mm-hmm. wept at the death of Lazarus, but he went through the things that we've gone through. Mm-hmm. He knows what we're feeling. And 2 Corinthians also speaks to this, not only that Jesus did, but that we go through these things and are able to help one another.
Yeah.
I love this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 4, that God, through Jesus, he comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we're afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is firm because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so you also will share in the comfort.
Yeah.
The things that we have gone through, the things that we experience, God will use them to help others in a similar situation.
Yeah.
I've shared before, but I love the way that God has worked this out. My wife and I, when we lost a pregnancy, lost our twins, we have actually been able to. We were ministered to by a couple who had actually had the same outcome as we did, conjoined twins that they lost. And that was a blessing to us. But also we've been able to be there and to empathize with people who've walked through the same season of life.
Yeah.
That's not to say that it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
But as 2 Corinthians said, you know, we have endured that and we are able to then come alongside people in those same moments.
Yeah.
Sadness is not something God desired for us, but it is something that he will use to bring about glory for him.
That's a key element in all of this is, no, God did not cause sadness or delights in your sadness, but he is good enough and powerful enough to repurpose it to draw you in to a relationship with him. And so I think, you know, when you're dealing with sadness or depression or anxiety, which seems like that pretty much hits everyone at some point in time, the reality is like those emotions, they should remind you that something's not right. Mm-hmm. They should remind you that life is not the way that it was intended to be, especially if you look at Genesis 1 and 2. But it also reminds you of the hope of a day coming. And I think of Matthew 11, when verse 28, when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." And I think that is this beautiful picture of what Jesus desires our emotions to draw us to. Those emotions, especially the ones that we may consider negative in a earthly sense, Jesus has called us as, "Come to me.
Yeah.
Come to me. I'm what you actually seek. These emotions are reminding you of your need for me. They're reminding you that something's not right, that something's broken in the terms of negative emotions." And the call that those are giving you is, remember who Christ is.
Yeah.
Come to him. He will give you the rest that your soul longs for.
Yeah, in the Garden of Eden, and then again in the Garden at the restoration of all things, that reminder, I am what you truly need, will be restored. We will be in perfect communion with God, with Christ, and all those things will be done away with.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful promise that sometimes in the moment when things are tough. We need to be reminded of that.
Yes.
This absolutely. Is but a light and momentary affliction.
Yeah.
It is a, as you said, a blip in the radar.
Yeah.
That stinks. And there's no getting around it in the moment. It's hard.
Yes.
But we have that eternal perspective of, I can endure this because of what is to come.
Yes, absolutely. And listen, I want to reiterate what you said. We are not therapists. We are not counselors.
We're not saying suck it up.
Yeah, no. There's a lot of hard work to be done in the middle of that. And I would encourage you, like, go find a biblical Christian counselor that can help you walk through that stuff, because we don't want to invalidate that at all. Those are good and useful things. There's a lot of things, a lot of steps, a lot of different things you need to navigate and work through. But I think you need to look at God from this perspective. Through all of that, God wants to father you through it. God wants to walk with you through that. God wants to teach you through it. And so press into Him, do the hard work of working through that and processing that. But remember, God wants to father you through it, and He has not given you more than He can handle through you. And so cling to Him, trust in His promises, and there will be a day that we stand in the face of eternity and realize this is what my soul was waiting for.
Absolutely. I think that's a great place to wrap it up on. I know we didn't cover every emotion, but I think with those three examples, we've kind of shown that emotions, these negative emotions were not a part of God's original plan.
Yes.
It is not what God wanted, and it's not what we will have someday.
Yes.
But in the moment, we will endure them with the help of God.
Yep.
So I want to thank you all for joining us this week on our episode of Since You Asked, as we talk about emotions and the fall. I want to invite you to join us again next week as we tackle another question that you've brought to us. If you have a question you'd like to see us answer here on the podcast, make sure you send us a message at question@redbrushcc.org. We'd love to discuss that on a future podcast. We'd love to know what coffee you drink. Maybe let us know, oh yeah, I've had Folgers and I would rate it a 10 out of 10. So you're 5.
Yeah, let us know.
I don't know what you're thinking. Let us know what your reviews are. And of course, we value your feedback. We love to see the comments that people leave on our YouTube page, comments on wherever you get your podcasts, Apple or Spotify, things like that. Leave a review. Let other people know that this has been a blessing to you. Leave an honest review. Let other people know that, hey, I think
we've had some difficult comments on YouTube and through the podcast sites. We don't shy away from those.
No,
we're not taking those down. We'll leave them up
because
it's a conversation, and we realize not everybody's on the same page, and we want to work through that together.
So. Yeah, and your reviews really help drive the algorithm to share this podcast with other people who are searching for biblical answers, and that's what we are seeking to provide each and every week here at Since You Asked. So thank you for joining us this week. We look forward to seeing you again next week.